them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased, with whom he is pleased." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you and praise you. Thank you so much for your wonderful gift of salvation. Thank you so much for that first Christmas and that first and best Christmas gift ever, when you sent your son to be born in a manger and to die on a cross and to take away our sins. And we love you and praise you. Your will be done. Thank you for your anointing. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. And everybody in the church said, amen. So I'm really, really excited to be here with you guys. I'm so glad to be Christmasing with my loved ones. I love my church family very, very much. Let's go ahead and dive into this Luke 2, verse 8. "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." So, same region, we're talking about Bethlehem. When this takes place, little Mary has just given birth to the Savior of all mankind. And outside of Bethlehem, in between Bethlehem and Jerusalem, now keep in mind, Jerusalem's just right down the road from Bethlehem. Between Jerusalem and Bethlehem, it's like 5 miles. It's not very far at all. But in between that area, we have the shepherds. And there was tons of shepherds that would tend their flocks in this area of Bethlehem, because in Bethlehem is where they would keep the sacrifice. This is so, so cool. In Bethlehem is where they would keep the lambs that were going to be used for the sacrifices down the road in Jerusalem. So that means something. That is just really, really amazing how God does this really cool stuff. I mean, think about it. God chose Bethlehem to be the birthplace of Jesus Christ. And remember, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, what did he say? He said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And the scripture says that he was the Lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. So here outside of Bethlehem, they would keep the sheep that was for the sacrifices in Jerusalem. And we just read about these shepherds. Now, if you dig in and do a little bit of research about shepherds during this day and age in Israel, they were literally the lowest guys on the totem pole. They were the least liked folks in all of Israel. The only people under them would be lepers. Lepers, not the wild beasts, but the people that had a contagious skin disease. Okay, people that had this disease were lower. Only them were lower than the shepherds. Shepherds were so despised that their testimony was no good. They couldn't testify in court. They were considered not trustworthy. They couldn't worship in the temple like other Jews because they were considered unclean people. People really despised and looked down on them. But here in this area, outside of Bethlehem, right up the road from Jerusalem, is this group of shepherds doing the same thing they've done day in and day out for years. And you can imagine that they could see the lights of Jerusalem out in the distance. Look over at Bethlehem, a couple of flickering lights there. You got the tiny little town of Bethlehem, the big metropolis of Jerusalem, the big religious center for all Israel. And people would come from all over the world to see this mighty and amazing temple. Now Jesus, the Savior of all mankind, was just born, and he was born in a barn. Now, think about this. He could have been born in the temple right down the road. He could have been born in a palace, because he is our king and he is our high priest, you know. But God chose for him to be born in a barn, to be laid down in a feeding trough. Okay, this is where our Savior was born. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. This is the Shekinah glory. This is God's glory just everywhere. All of the sudden, talk about flickering lights in the distance from the windows of Jerusalem. Maybe a fire here to warm yourselves. You're watching your sheep. A couple little lights out there in Bethlehem, and it is dark, buddy. You guys remember after the hurricanes how you could see the stars so much better when there was no lights anywhere else? I mean, imagine a night like that where they could see the stars. Maybe there was not much other going on other than lights from the cities. It's pretty stinking dark. And then all of a sudden, the whole world, not the whole world literally, but their world is illuminated like nothing they had ever seen before. The glory of God shining all around them. These guys did the same thing day in and day out. There was no chance of any kind of advancement in their lives. They were shepherds when they got of age, and their children, if they had them, they were going to be shepherds after them. Day in, day out, same old thing. And then all of a sudden, something amazing happens, something supernatural. We're talking about in the fullness of time, in the perfect time, the Messiah is born. And look who God decides to reveal this to, the lowest of the low. An angel appears, the whole world is lit up around them. And I got to tell you a little story, because every time I read that, I remember this situation in my life. It was on a Sunday night, and I was going to visit my friend in Milton, downtown Milton, you know, the downtown area. And so anyways, it's at nighttime. It's after Sunday church. I pull into my buddy's driveway. It's completely dark. And I'm in his front yard. I'm walking to his front porch. And then all of a sudden, everything is just lit up, man, all around me. I'm like looking at my hands. I'm like, what the heck's going on, man? I'd never been in a situation like that before. It was dark, and then everything was just illuminated. I look up in the sky, and there's a police helicopter for some reason decided to shine their light on me. I guess they were looking for somebody, but I was like, oh my gosh, dude. So I kind of get how that must have felt, because it was startling to be around that. Of course, imagine these shepherds when an angel appears. This guy is leaving the throne room of heaven, and he appears, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Now, that's pretty typical. When you see an angel appearing in Scripture, it is usually followed by somebody being pretty freaked out, by somebody being just frozen in fear. Matter of fact, if we go back to the beginning of the Christmas story, if we look at Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, when he's given the news by the angel, when the angel appears to Zechariah in the temple, this is what happens. Luke 1, verse 12, and Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and listen, and fear fell upon him. So these angels are some bad dudes, man. Okay, it took like one angel destroyed like 180,000 Assyrian troops at one time. Did it just like that. Okay, so you can imagine why these guys would be full of fear. Boom, there's this glorious being and all this light, and the angel's got a pretty cool message. Thank you, Jesus. I got to drink some of this water. Hold on, everybody be cool. Don't start talking. Hold on. So look, we are at Luke 2 and verse 10. Now this is something really, really cool. Luke 2 and verse 10. And the angel said to them, fear not. This is super important. The angel said, fear not. Okay, listen to me, guys. Does God want you to be full of fear? God does not want you to be full of fear. Obviously, he does not want that. What happens when the angel appears? These guys are freaking out, man. They are terrified because of this amazing thing that they've seen, that they've never seen before. I mean, these angels are so amazing that John the Revelator fell down to worship one, and the angel said, no. I'm a servant just like you. You don't do that. Don't do that, okay? But these things are amazing. But God does not want his people to have fear. Look, and the angel said to them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy. God wants us to take our fears Some of us have a pretty rough couple of years, man. Some of us have been through some crazy stuff in the last couple of years. Some of us are kind of freaking out about what might be around the corner for us. And God is saying to us, fear not, I got good news for you. Fear not, I got good news for you. It's going to be okay. And matter of fact, he says, don't fear. Replace the fear, replace the anxiety with joy. God wants his people to be full of joy. Can I get a witness? Okay, so I want to read Philippians 4 and verse 4. Because how can I have joy? Like the angel said, fear not. I got good news of great joy. Okay, this is what I want to do. I want to have joy. I want to have peace in this new year right here at Christmas time. I want to have joy. I want to have peace. And this is the ticket right here. Okay, Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. If you want to have joy, like the angel says, fear not. I got good news of great joy. If you want to have peace, if you want to have joy, we got to get our eyes off of ourselves a little bit. We got to get our eyes off of ourselves a little bit and focus on God's goodness. Focus on the good stuff. Can I get a witness? Matter of fact, Psalm 106, verse 1, praise the Lord. This is what God wants from his people. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let's go through this verse, okay? Now, check this out. Why do I have a reason to praise God right now? Paul, do you have a clue what I've been through? Do you know what's been going on with my life? You know, I had a stroke last year. You know, my loved one passed away just the other day. You know that my child left me. All these things. But this is what God says, man. Okay, check this out. Praise the Lord. That's what God wants us to do. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Well, how can I do that right now? For he is good. For he is good. Is he good? Is he good? Even when he does things that we don't understand, even when he allows things that we just can't figure out, you know that he's still good. Can I get a witness? For he is good. Well, how is he good? For his steadfast love endures forever. Whatever you're going through as a Bible-believing Christian, whatever you're going through as a Christian, you're not alone. He is faithful, and he's with you. Look back on those crazy times, and you know God was with you. Can I get a witness? Go ahead. Give the Lord some praise, seriously. Thank you, Jesus. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Now, I love that part. I got to tell you, I really love that part. That is for all people, Mr. Stimson, because if it wasn't for all people, I don't think that I would make the grade. I don't think that I would make the cut. You know what I'm saying? But he says, great noise, great joy. Check it out. The angel's talking to the lowest of the low, man. He's talking to shepherds, man. The guys that nobody wanted to hang out with. The guys that live their life in seclusion most of the time. Okay, God uses them to give this message about the birth of the Savior of all mankind. Okay, to show us. This message isn't just for the highfalutin. This message is for all people. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your bloodline is. It doesn't matter if you never knew your dad. None of that stuff matters, man. All right? This salvation is for all people. Goodness gracious, that's good news, because if it was only for Jews, raise your hands in this massive auditorium. Raise your hands if you're a Hebrew. We got 1% Hebrew over here. Man, that's rich, dude. Okay, see, he came for all people. Matter of fact, look at John 3:16. Would you look at John 3:16 with me real fast? For God so loved the world. That pretty much sums it up right there. Can I get a witness? That pretty much sums it up right there. For God so loved just the people in Israel? I don't know. Just the people in Northwest Florida? No. Just the people in England? Just the people? No, man. Look. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. See that? Isn't that cool? And the angel said to them, fear not, For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Okay, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now look at this. This salvation, this special message that the shepherds are getting from this angel is about salvation for all that'll come. Salvation for all mankind if they want it. Now look at this. For unto you. Now it's getting personal. Now it's getting intimate. See, God wants to be a personal, intimate God. He wants to be that friend that sticks closer to you than a brother. That friend that is there when you don't feel like you can talk to anybody about what you're going through. He wants to be that important part of your life. He doesn't just come to save all humanity, but he wants to have that intimate, personal relationship with you guys. For unto you, look at your neighbor and say, For unto you is born this day, this very, very day, in the city of David, Bethlehem. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. For unto you. So, yes, it's for all people. It's for all creation. It's for all humanity. Let's say that, okay? It's for all humanity, but it's also as an individual. God's not too big to spend that intimate individual time with you, and he cares about what you're going through. Can I get a witness? Okay, look, Isaiah 40, verse 11. I love this verse. He tends his flock. It's funny, we're talking about shepherds, but now we're talking about how God is perceived, or God says, look, you can think of me like a shepherd, okay? He tends his flock, talking about God. He tends his flock like a shepherd, okay? That's that whole group thing, okay? That's that salvation for everybody. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. Now, see, there's that individual intimacy, that love and that tenderness that he has for each and every one of us. Can I get a witness? He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. So you don't have to worry about being left behind. You don't have to worry about not being the cool person. You don't have to worry about your special needs not being met by the creator of the universe. He says, for those of you that have young, that have to move at a slower pace, I'm going to be right here with you. See, as individuals, he cares about you, and he knows what you're going through, and he loves you. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The city of David, Bethlehem. It's funny that way, way back in the book of Micah, or let's just say hundreds of years before this happened, before the birth of Jesus Christ in the city of Bethlehem, this was prophesied by the prophet Micah. He said that in Bethlehem, the Savior was going to be born. Remember when the wise men come up to Jerusalem and they go up to King Herod like, hey, we're here to worship the king. And Herod's like, well, here you go. What's up, fellas? And he's like, no. The new king. We're here to worship the new king. I lost my train of thought for a second, but I'll get it again, I think, if I don't trip. Okay, so Herod had to go to the religious elite and say, hey, where's this Savior? Where's this king supposed to be born? And they went back to Micah and said, in Bethlehem, right down the road. It's interesting. It was only a few miles away. And none of the religious elite, the guys that just got the news from Herod to go look this stuff up, that there might be a new king in town, just didn't even decide to go down to Bethlehem. Didn't even want to check it out. It just was not that big of a deal to them. But the wise men went on to Bethlehem. And so anyways, it was prophesied in Micah 5:2, but you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, I don't know if I said that right, but you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, you tiny little insignificant place, from you shall come forth for me, one who's to be ruler in Israel, who coming forth is from old, from ancient days. Okay, so this is obviously talking about the Messiah being born in Bethlehem. Okay? And it says right here, forth, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. Or we could say the ancient of days. Daniel first talks about or gives God this name, the ancient of days. Okay? And it really translates to Jesus not being called ancient of days. What it really, really means is this, or before days were. Isn't that cool? Well, listen to me. Or before days were. That's what this is saying. In other words, Jesus Christ wasn't just born of a virgin. He didn't start existing at that moment as an embryo inside Mary's womb, but he had always existed and always will exist. But the Son of God, the second man of the Trinity, the creator of the universe, in other words, wrapped himself in human flesh and was born of a virgin in Bethlehem so we can be saved. Let's go to the next slide. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Merry Christmas, everybody. Luke 2:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He's a Savior. Okay. Hey, the angel's telling these shepherds, check this out. The angel is telling these shepherds, okay, I really do have some good news for you that's going to bring great joy, shepherds who nobody really cares about, who's out here all alone in the middle of the night. I got some great news that is going to bring you a lot of joy. Okay, right here in the town of David, right behind you there, a Savior has been born. Can you imagine how exciting that must have been for those guys to hear that? Just like everybody else in Israel, they were under the heel of the Roman Empire, and they were tired of being ruled and ordered around and bossed around by the cruel, evil Romans. Okay, a Savior has been born. Look with me, Matthew 1:21. This is, you remember this from our previous studies. This is when Joseph is getting the news from the angel about Mary. This is when Joseph is getting the news about Mary, that it's okay to marry Mary. Yes, she's pregnant, and yeah, it ain't yours, but God's in the middle of all this. What we're talking about is the Christ child. So this is Joseph getting the down low from the angel. Matthew 1:21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. What does Jesus mean? The Lord is salvation. The Lord is salvation. So remember, the angels just told the shepherds, a Savior is going to be born, or a Savior just has been born. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Isn't that beautiful? That's what Jesus Christ came to do. So a Savior was born that day in Bethlehem. And 33 years later, that Savior went to a cross right down the road in Jerusalem, and he died for our sins, and he rose from the dead, paying for our sins and defeating death. You are truly blessed people. Can I get a witness? Oh, man. All right. There's a sale at Penny's. Well, I was just trying to get you guys excited. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Okay, a Savior who is going to save his people, going to save us from our sins. That's big news. That's good news. Who is Christ the Lord. I can only imagine that these shepherds don't quite understand the full extent of what the angels are telling him, that he's a Savior, but he's also Christ the Lord, or that he's also God. God is right down the road. God is right down the road in a feeding trough. Go check it out. You know what I mean? For real, it's right down the road. There's a baby lying in a manger, and it's a Savior, but he's also God in human form. I'm sure they didn't quite get that, okay? But we have the privilege of looking back and understanding who is Christ the Lord. Matthew 1:23, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Think about that, folks. That Savior was born of a virgin. And that Savior wasn't just the son of Mary, but he was the Son of God, God in the flesh, Emmanuel. God is with us. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. God is with us. God is with us. So when you're going through these hard times, this crazy year that you were going through, God is with you. You're not alone. Isaiah 41, verse 10. So do not fear. So do not fear, for I am with you. So do not fear, for I am with you. God is with us, man. We're going to be all right. Amen. And verse 12. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger, a feeding trough. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. This is an angelic army. So check this out, man. So here's these shepherds. Here's the sheep. Lord only knows what the sheep are doing during all this. You know, there's one angel, and these shepherds have got to be mesmerized. Like, it's beautiful. It's amazing. You know, but now it's just wall-to-wall angels everywhere. An army of angels right there, you know, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ born in this manger, the Savior coming into the world, the perfect time. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. This is the last point I want to make in our Christmas service. The angels praised God by saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Well, who is God pleased with? You know, here's the deal. We are at peace with God. We are at peace with our Creator. Well, let me rephrase that. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are no longer in enmity with God the Father. You are no longer God's enemy, okay? Because that's how it works. Before you accept Jesus Christ, you decided, I'm going to do it my way. I don't need your son. I don't need that salvation. I got it covered. I did it my way. I don't need you. Okay, but so we are enemies with God. But see, he has peace for us. All we have to do is accept that precious gift of salvation. Remember Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God? It's a gift, man. All we have to do is accept it. And at that moment, when we accept that gift, man, we have peace. We have peace of knowing that when I die, I'm going to heaven. But it's the peace that we're actually talking about right here, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. It's like God saying, you are not my enemy. We're at peace. You are with me. You're in my family now. That's good news. That's great news. Amen, church people? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if you haven't accepted that gift, man, you need to do it. You listen, man, tomorrow is not promised to you. People always say that. Man, look, people pass away every single day. I just can't be with them right now. I'll be with them again. But, you know, I've lost some precious people in my life, man. And you guys have too. You know, it happens so fast. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, right? We don't have a clue, you know? My buddy JD passed away Monday morning, man, on his way home from work. You know, I know where he's at now. I know where he's at because he belonged to the good Lord. See, before you accept Jesus Christ, you're not at peace with God. You're not. You're his enemy by your choice. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But for those of us that have accepted this precious gift that the angels are talking about, look at Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. We are no longer enemies of the Creator of the universe. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's what the angels are saying. They're talking about the Savior. They're saying this is what Christmas is really all about. It's not about the presents. It's not about giving them, as awesome as that is. It's not about receiving. I mean, you guys know that. But see, here's the deal. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus and that precious gift that was given to us on that very first Christmas all those years ago. And those of us that have accepted that gift, we do have that peace. we have this blessed peace in verse 14, Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. If you've accepted Christ, he's pleased with you. I'm not saying he likes everything you're doing. I mean, none of us are perfect. But you accepted that gift. You're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, in closing, I want to talk to you guys that are on the fence, man. I want to talk to you people that have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is the time to do it. And all you have to do is say this prayer with me and mean it. All you have to do is say it and mean it. That's it. You have to realize you're a sinner. You have to realize you're a sinner and you need a Savior. You're not good enough to get into heaven on your own. But hey, nobody is good enough to get to heaven on their own. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all blown it. But if you want to have eternal life, if you want to be at peace with your Creator, you got to understand that you're a sinner, that you have broken God's law, and you need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. There's no name under heaven. There's only one name under heaven by which you can be saved, and that's the precious name of Jesus Christ. Do not reject that precious gift. But if you want to be saved, just say this prayer with me. I encourage anybody and everybody to say it. Dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I repent of all my sins. I am sorry. I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. And I will serve you for all the days of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, and you're willing to turn from your sins, and you're not going to do that perfectly, but if you said that prayer, Jesus, forgive me, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior, he took you up on that. So now you're a Christian. You are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you saw sparkles. It doesn't matter if you flipped over backwards or you didn't feel nothing. If you said it or thought it and meant it, you are now in the family of God. Okay? So get yourself a Bible and read it. Pray, talk to the Lord, and get involved in a church. Go to a church. This one will do just fine. Just get to a church, and God bless you guys. Merry Christmas. I love you all. If you accepted Christ, come up and tell me about it. Remember, we got a song coming up. Come on up here, girls.